were talking about that. At the Holocene, or whatever the hell it's called. Holocene. Yeah, he was putting on his moves and breaking it down. Apparently competing against a dance troupe, all of whom had matching jackets. It's like his own. That's what I was saying. It's his own personal beat street. Because, you know, kids, you don't forget this now. Because beat street is a lesson, too. Because you can't let the street beat you. My traffic, boy. Perfect word. Yeah!
All right.
If you can't beat it, break it. It's 2 minutes to night. That wasn't even my cold. I inhaled. There was a large hair sitting on the microphone.
Oh, that's gross.
what's even more gross is that I inhaled it. Did you ever do that thing where you get a hair stuck in the back of your throat? Like a head in a hand, like a... And then it... Or sometimes this. You ever done this? You get a long hair from the top of your head. At least you hope it's your own head. And it gets stuck between two of your teeth. And then it's just sort of there. And when you get a hair stuck between two of your teeth, you get... And I'm talking about the long, straight hair, like, off your head. And you... Like, you don't want to pull on it too forcefully. Because then part of it will snap off, and the rest of it will be stuck between your teeth forever. If you think that's hideous, you don't even want to know about this. I had this friend of mine growing up. This whole long, 6-inch hair. And then I'll tell you later. Oh, it's not even you that has, it's Aaron that has the hair phobia.
I was wondering why you're talking so much about hair.
I was trying
and
to
looking
make,
at me.
I was trying to make you vomit. It's not even you though, it's Aaron. Fun fact, if you are ever eating, having any kind of food with Aaron Geek in the city, start talking about hair. Seriously, he'll hurl right there.
Is it because he's losing his?
No. Bam! You gotta get yourself
that's
a
that, Aaron.
Got to get yourself a matching satin jacket to go with that. Go hang out at the Holocene. All right, then. Well, then. It's 3 minutes and 48 seconds after the hour of 11, and this is the month of August of the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious, studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. It is the Rick Emerson Show. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Wednesday. Thank you for coming by. Okay, I'm both.
How you doing there, Chief?
I got the hair. Hold on. All right, I think I'm past it now. Wait, hold on. A little more Visa will cure that. It's like my mom who just felt that enough Pine Sol would get rid of whatever it is. Anything wrong in the house, any problem, any ailment, Pine Sol. Just use more Pine Sol. All right. If you want to take part in today's program, kids, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you want to do that electronically, you can email us with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your hate mail, your what have you. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. There's so much stuff we got to talk about today, and so much of it's just stuff left over from yesterday. We'll talk about, we'll bring up Mailman Chris here in a second, and we'll do a little forward promotion about what is coming up later on in today's program. All I got to say is this, it was a mean crowd last night at Dante's. Here's the single best part of last night's...
You doing push-ups?
No, but thank you.
Me tripping and accidentally grabbing that girl's boob and her giving me a really dirty look.
And see, here's the thing about that, is that why am I always the one, and I understand that she wasn't an attractive girl.
She was not, and she looked at me like I was purposely trying to touch her. I'm like, honey, there are a lot better looking women in here than you.
Zing!
I've never had a person look at me more disgustedly in my life.
And I didn't even see it, because as we've established long ago, that every time there's some station event, some listener party, it's sort of, we were talking the other day about how you can make it rain by washing your car. You can get a relationship difficulty by talking about how great your relationship is going.
Bada bing.
And I can make girls touch each other just by turning my back and not looking. Now, granted, in this case, the other girl looked a lot like Paul Rubens.
Well, I had the same problem as you. I tripped over the person in the wheelchair.
Oh, I did it too.
Yeah.
I tripped over.
I was trying to step over and my shoe caught the foot part. And then I fell on the girl.
And it's so... Here's the thing. I'm walking through Dante's last night, and as I ended, You know, I wasn't being rude, but it's a crowded locale. It's a hot night spot where the people gather. And it wasn't packed. It wasn't wall to wall, but it was very crowded. And that can be sort of a congested club under the best of circumstances. But last night, there's a lot of people there. They're watching Rockstar Supernova. I'm over, and at Dante's, you go in, and there's that main room, and then there's the room over to the right, the smaller room where, like, the video poker is and so forth. And I'm over there doing something, like, getting the drink, and I'm talking to somebody or whatever. And then I hear that telltale music that we're coming back from commercial break back into Rockstar. It's that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I'm like, oh, I got to get back. So I got my drink in one hand, I got my thing, and I'm threading my way through the crowd. And look, here's the thing. It wasn't like a normal wheelchair. I mean, it was a
super small one.
It was a tiny, tiny wheelchair with a tiny wheelchair person inside of it. And I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm not. I'm saying...
No, it was very, very small. Not the person in the wheelchair. The person was kind of small.
Well, now, which person in the wheelchair did you trip over? Because there was
the short hair and glasses.
Was it a man or a woman?
I'm not sure.
Oh, you don't even know, do you?
No, I don't know. I didn't... It was really dark in there.
This is so awkward.
I know.
This makes it sound so terrible. We'll get back to this.
Yeah.
We'll come back and talk about the tripping over small people in wheelchairs at Dante's last night in just a moment. If the show's just not going to be awkward enough, so we might as well just add to it. All right, and we'll talk about the other thing that everybody's wondering about, undoubtedly, and then we'll have some other stuff as well. Let me find the intro here for Mailman Chris. And there we go. Let me.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris, official stenographer of the Rick Emerson Radio Experience. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm on pins and needles, my friend.
Are you? About what?
About the outcome of tonight's show.
Okay.
I know.
We'll talk about that
here. It's going to be brutal.
No, it's going to be. Look, and it's no secret to anybody that it's storming.
Well, what's going to kill me is that the spoilers are going to be on the internet in like an hour.
Why?
Because.
Why do you got to hate?
I'm not hating.
You're hating on me. You're hating on me and my desire to not know. Because here's the thing is that you're going to go. What? I hate myself for even asking this. It is now 11, whatever, 11,
what
11,
time do they film
10.
It?
Well, what time,
it should,
in
what?
Your estimation, are the spoilers posted for tonight's elimination show?
Last week they were posted by about noon.
See? I think the show runs from 10 to 11.
Yeah,
you,
so
you mean they tape it from 10 to 11?
Or 9 to 11.
Why would
so
they
it's going
that?
On like right now.
Why would they do that? Why, Helen? Why do you do these things?
They have to cut out all of the witty things that Storm's saying so they can ridicule her more.
So they can cut out all the moments where Tommy Lee just asks her to strip. Because
we know how easy it is to rock at 9 in the morning.
Totally. Because here's the thing is you're going to go and you're going to read the spoilers. You're going to find out. You will swear that you won't tell me, but then your mood will tell all. You wear it all. You wear everything on your face. You don't. You know. You try to have a poker face. You try to.
That's
but it
why.
Fails.
That's why I don't gamble.
That's what I'm saying. You will go and you will look at the spoilers, and all will be evident just by reading your body language, your expressions, your tone of voice, and then I'm going to know, and then pretty soon everybody's going to know, and then everybody's going to find out hours
anything.
In advance. You just shouldn't go. You just shouldn't read this. Look at me now.
I know I shouldn't.
Look at me now and promise that you will not read the spoilers.
Why would I? Why would I promise that? You
because
know I'm
it's
going
wrong.
To.
Because it's wrong to do
Rick,
it.
Rick, I need to know.
Don't need to know.
What do you don't know what I need.
You can find out tonight. You don't know anything about me.
No, I'm working on the soapbox car tonight. I'm not going to be able to do it. So I've got to know now.
I can text you tonight as the show is airing.
Sure you could.
What good is it going to do you to find out at noon? Let me just say this. Supposing that Storm is not eliminated. Supposing that she lasts. I mean, wouldn't you?
What I'm going to do is I'll make the face.
Prefer to have that be a fantastic surprise tonight.
After I look, regardless of who gets eliminated, I'll make the ooh face. Okay.
But you won't be able to sell it.
Yes,
if you're faking it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And if you look at the spoilers at noon and she's gotten the boot, then it's just going to cast a dark pall over the whole rest of the show.
No, it won't. Oh, come on.
We can all drink early.
like there isn't a black cloud over us at this very moment. Anyway. All right.
Well, now I'll put on my poker face. I won't tell you.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it more.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, here's what's coming up today. Tim, what do you think the odds are we can get to that double corpse watch today?
I think there's a very distinct possibility of that happening.
Fantastic. Double corpse watch coming up today. Cruise news you cannot possibly use or believe is real. We have a religious nutcase watch coming up today. Jim Roop will be talking to us from Los Angeles. Jen Lane and our Rockstar Recap, of course. And do I have anything else that I feel comfortable? Do I have anything else I feel comfortable? Oh, and I would like to thank our good friend. Wait, hold on. Our good friends Susan Reynolds and Teresa DeWalt for these. I have in my hands to be given away. To be given away today. A pair of tickets to Def Leppard and Journey at the Clark County Amphitheater.
Oh!
That's for the giveaway only, baby. Baby, you know, Rick would love to hook you up. No, because my wife would love to go too. But they're for the people. They're not for us. See, the people think that it's all about us taking the perks for ourselves. But sadly,
we don't get any. I bought my ticket for Snakes on a Plane.
I bought like a $600 goddamn plane ticket to go to Los Angeles to cheer for stupid goddamn
DeLana. That's why
DeLana.
You're so mad. That's why you're so mad. Because
yes.
You don't want to know.
Yes, that is exactly why.
Okay.
No, sadly, these are earmarked, as they say, for giveaway only. CBS is very, you know that CBS is very, they're very anal about such things.
Yes.
You and I both, we all had to sign.
The freebies of radio are long gone.
We all had to sign the same 55-page booklet when we got the job here. So, anyway, so we have a pair of tickets to Def Leppard and Journey at the Clark County Amphitheater. That happens tonight, showtime 7:30. So we'll give away this. It's not even the real Journey guy. What do you
care?
Oh,
it's tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can't go anyway. You got the Soapbox Derby thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Soapbox Derby thing, which I will be here for. Oh, no. I'll be cheering for DeLana.
Have a good time with that.
God damn it. See, that's the thing. So I will be, A, paying out the ass to go to Los Angeles for 2 days. Not even enough time to do anything. It's not only not enough time to enjoy myself in Los Angeles. It's not enough time to go somewhere good, like San Diego. B, I'm going to have to go and be cheering for somebody who is not Storm. C.
Maybe Storm will still be there.
Maybe.
Well, we'll talk about...
Anyway, so we got all that coming up. Chris, do you have some sort of a kind of a general idea of what we're talking about?
I've got the double corpse watch. I've got the cruise news we can't possibly use.
And you're not even... Look, and here's the thing about this Tom Cruise story. Sarah, do you know the Tom Cruise story I'm talking about?
No.
And I know you don't, because if you did...
Would I be spazzing?
When I said Tom Cruise, your eyes would have just sort of gotten all aglow and agog.
I haven't looked at my gossip yet.
It has nothing to do with...
Sorry?
Well... Here's the thing about that. It sort of does, but not really.
Is it about the Vanity Fair article?
No. Well, what Vanity Fair article?
They sold the pictures to Vanity Fair.
Or really?
Vanity Fair paid for them, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is not about that. This is about...
Did Katie Holmes finally leave him?
No.
Oh.
It's...
Did they get married?
No.
Oh.
You couldn't, you know, there's no point in even teasing it because you couldn't possibly guess it. You will never be able to figure out what the Tom Cruise story is. Did we play the Kira Phillips audio yesterday, Tim?
We did not.
When she left her microphone on while going to the bathroom?
No. Because it needs to be edited.
I have the audio. Does it?
Yes, it does.
Is there profanity?
It begins with profanity quite loudly.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Thank God you told me that. I was just listening to the part where she's reaming on her brother-in-law's, or her brother's wife.
Which is fun.
Yeah, which is genius. All right.
But it does begin with profanity.
Thank you for telling me that. Yeah, go ahead loudly. All right, Chris, but I'm sorry.
Double corpse, the cruise news, religious nutcase, Jim Roop, Jen Lane, the Rockstar Recap, and tickets to Def Leppard and Journey.
That is what I'm talking about, my friend. All right.
Real quick, can I throw something in for your Rockstar?
Sure.
We've been talking about Gilby. We've been talking about Dave. We know that Delana's a shoo-in to be on there next week. So I'd just like to say to DeLana, see you next Tuesday.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Well done. All right, there you go. We'll check in with you at the end of the program. All right, there. I'm surprised that I feel dumb for not thinking of that.
Lycus is a genius in some way.
Not because next Tuesday she'll be on Rockstar Supernova.
Mm-hmm.
We know that that's the case. It's fantastic. All right, we're joined today as Are We Always by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who was just now balling up her fists in little tiny globes of rage. Yes?
The spoiler website was down.
See, why are you there already? It's not even noon. It's like 11:15 and you're already logging on.
Because people have Blackberries and stuff like that now, and they could just instantly post it.
It doesn't make any sense that they would... Here's what I don't understand, is why would they tape the Elimination Show at like 10 in the morning when they know that that means it's going to get leaked out there? Why would they not? I mean, because they don't tape the performance show until like 4 in the afternoon. I mean, granted, I guess it's a couple days in advance. But still, you'd think that they'd be smarter than this. Well, whatever.
How are you?
Tim Riley's working on the following stories today at the Ministry of Truth.
A president commemorates the Battle of New Orleans floods by reading the Battle of New Orleans. Therefore, he puts down his preferred Shakespeare readings and works of French philosophers to do so. The caretakers were a 500-pound woman charged with neglect, and the In Cold Blood murder house is for sale.
By the way, that 500-pound murder woman, that'll be our Hick Watch. Or 500-pound murder, 500-pound, the caretaker woman?
Yes.
That'll be our Hick Watch today. All right. Oh, and it should be noted that I did my push-ups last night. Not all of them.
Oh, you did like one.
Five? I did five.
I think like
I did four
two.
Initially. No. I did four initially.
Are you sure?
I did. Here's the thing. And by the way, I'd like to thank everybody last night for prompting her about that. She had forgotten it. And I think Sarah was a little distracted, a little drunk, hadn't quite remembered that I was, that I had the push-up sitting there. And so we had finished because we went to Dante's, we did the thing, we did some announcements at the front of the room, and then at the end of it, we were like wrapping it up. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for voting. Be sure to go home, vote a whole lot more. And just as we were walking back, somebody, and I believe his name is Chris, shouted out, "You're bringing new push-ups." And so I had to do the right there on that, on that nasty-ass Dante's floor, which is all, I mean, look, I love Dante's, but it's covered with all kinds of grime and filth and whatnot. And so, anyway, so I did four initially. And, of course, as we learned, I was mentioning this, we were at Dennis's house a few weeks ago playing poker. And Ian Gordon, our good friend, Ian is a husky man. He's a big-boned individual. And there was that classic moment when he was leaning back and all the legs of the chair just snapped off.
Oh.
And immediately all the guys at the poker table, out come the cell phones. Bam! Picture of Ian. So it was last night, except it wasn't so much photos of me doing the push-ups last night as it was like full-motion video. And somebody demanded another one later on, and so there was five. So there are five, and so that, I believe, brings the push-up to 44. I am back down to 44. So
okay.
I gotta get me some of that Primatine mist. I was
yeah,
fine.
You sound like you're getting worse.
Some of this is the Dante's last night. Here's the thing about my cold. The throat was fine. I was really doing better. I was, as I said, I was on the road to Wellville with this throat. And I had a little bit of a congestion in the nose, which I understand is just sort of going around the office. Carol has the sinus congestion as well, the sinus headache. And then I went to Dante's last night, and of course at Dante's it's just so loud, and it's a bar, and it's cigarette smoke, plus I'm having to raise my voice and yell for like 3 hours. Plus, by the end of the night, we were all just shrieking profanities at the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Best moment from last night, by the way, Rockstar Supernova, is when they're showing, I don't think it was a webisode, I think it was during, because as the show goes on, and there are fewer and fewer performers, they have to pad out the show with more and more behind the scenes, where like they cue the sad piano music, and then it's somebody sitting in a corner going, "Well, I just don't know why everybody doesn't like me." And they show Delano sitting in like a window ledge, and everybody just begins chanting, "Jump, jump," which is fantastic. But so by the end of the night, my voice was a little shoddy, but that's fine. I'll recover.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's what's coming up at the bottom of this hour. Bob Costantini will be joining us, and then later on today we will get to Jim Roop, Jen Lane, Rockstar Recap, all of that. Let us now go to Tim Riley. He's at the City Desk.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Hello, comrades. Here's what we have today. CNN apologizing after an open mic transmitted an anchor's bathroom conversation with another woman live over the network as it was carrying the president's speech from New Orleans. Live anchor Kira Phillips, who's usually this pleasant, smiley young lady, surprised us all. Apparently, she left the set around 12:48 p.m. for bathroom or makeup break, as they sometimes call it. Well, the news channel carried the president's speech, marking the one-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Phillips' wireless microphone was turned on and was picked up for about a minute and a half. First, it started with a muffle. Actually, it started with profanity.
See, now, I didn't hear that. Now, see, I watched it this morning. I was on the YouTube watching it. And they show Bush talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's so great, too, because it ran for like a minute.
Yeah.
A minute and a half before
however long it takes a lady to go to the restroom.
Well, but the thing is, she's not actually going to the restroom.
I heard something zip.
Really?
A little bit. Uh-huh.
Are you sure? I listened to it three times with my headphones on and the equalizer cranked. Really?
She zipped something in it.
So is she actually now?
We don't know exactly where she was.
Okay, but here's the thing. I didn't think, Sarah, you might be able to weigh in on this. I didn't think that women spoke to each other while they were in a lavatory.
They do.
Okay, but I mean, even if you're doing business?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well, probably not the second order of business, but...
But the first?
Well, we would have heard if it was the second order of business, because she had a microphone on.
I suppose.
That was not to be heard.
I didn't hear any... there were no sounds that it was the first order of business. This sounds like it's a Robert Rules of Order toilet conversation.
It could have been just a makeup break.
Point of parliamentary procedure.
It's a weird thing. Like, there's some people who do it, some that don't.
See, but I don't, and I don't, and here's the thing.
You answer the phone all the time when you're in the bathroom.
That is not true. That is a goddamn
lie. Every time I call you, you're in the bathroom.
Lie. That is a lie. I want you to take it back right now.
I am not lying, Rick. It's always echoing. You're like, oh, hello.
I have answered the phone one time.
Mm-mm.
And that I wasn't even in the bathroom as such, in a biblical sense. I was at the sink.
One is a lie. It's been multiple times.
You were just making stuff up.
No, because when I'm calling you from in here, like asking you about a guest or whatnot, half the time you're in there.
First of all, again, I can only remember ever doing that. I can only remember doing it once.
I remember three specific times.
I wouldn't know.
Because I laughed because it kept happening.
And here's how you know that that's not true, because it's something I would never do. I would never answer the phone.
You weren't using the restroom, but you were in there.
That's what, okay, if I'm at the sink, you go into the bathroom, you go into the whatever, you do what you got to do, and then you go to the sink, you're washing your hands, you're drying up, whatever. I will answer the phone if I'm at the sink after the business has been done.
That's all I'm saying.
But that's not the same thing as when you say, like, in the bathroom. That makes it seem as though you
pants
are
down. Okay, when you're inside the bathroom washing your hands.
Let me put it this way. I would never answer the phone with my pants down, ever, or unzipped. Because that's... But I've seen... And here's the thing, with the advent of the Bluetooth... I have seen guys from this office, who I will not identify, but who you would know, Sarah, even if just... you
engineers?
Not engineers, but I'm saying sales guys, who maybe, you know, you might not know them by name, because why would you? But I mean guys you would recognize. You're like, I know that guy, I see him in the kitchen. There have been guys, they come in with the full-on Borg Bluetooth headset, and then, like, standing next to me, at the stall, the stand-up stall, and it's a whole lot of... Yeah, well, if we can get them to buy an annual and close the... Well, I don't know what the... Well, just like a run-of-station thing. Yeah, with the rate. We'll just do that, and then we'll bonus on the... Okay, thanks. All right, there you go. And they're sitting there next to you with their, with their taco out, talking to a guy. And it's like, wouldn't you be afraid that there was going to be some sort of unpleasant noise that was going to be transmitted over the... Especially because... And look, I don't mean to be horrific about this, and I know what he... Well, it's not even the lunch hour. Screw it. Because, sometimes if one is in the bathroom, if you are doing a certain kind of business while in that room, sometimes there are... there are ancillary sort of sounds that sometimes... And not even from you sometimes. Let me ask you this. Have you ever done this? Have you ever been in the bathroom, and then there is someone else in there, and you know that they know you're there, right? Like, this other person comes in after you sometimes. So, like, it's a true story. What is today? Today's Wednesday, so this is Monday. And I made a note to myself, actually. If you look back at my fat, horrible guy in bathroom, I made this note on Monday, and I ended up not talking about it for whatever reason. Perhaps just the obvious.
Yeah.
No, seriously. So I'm in the bathroom. I've done what I needed to do. I'm at the sink, giving myself a good Jack Nicholson-esque scrubbing. And the guy comes in. And really, you can tell that he's a guy from the Quiznos. Not that he works there, but you can tell he's a customer of the Quiznos. Because he comes up and he's got the huge Quiznos cup with the rubber band run through it that is attached to the key. So he comes up, just reeking of ham, and walks by me, taking the Quiznos cup. And don't you feel retarded when you have a bathroom key that's attached to something huge? There is no way to not feel dumb about that. Like, the worst is when you go to Rocco's Pizza, which I love. I'm a big fan of Rocco's, downtown by Powell's. You eat at Rocco's? Man.
Oh, yeah, it's the purple building on the corner?
Yeah, it's fantastic. And you get one of those pizzas, and it'll, like, feed you for a month. It's amazing. It's one of my favorite pizzas here. But you go to Rocco's. And you're like, hey, can I use the bathroom? Yeah, bathroom key, please. And they give you the bathroom key, and it's a key that is attached to a large pizza pan. I mean, it's a pan that's like 19 inches across. And you're carrying it through the restaurant, and the problem is that everybody, like, there's no low-key way to carry it. And everybody's like, that guy's going to go use the bathroom. And everybody is suddenly aware that your bladder is full, which is a thing, you know, that isn't to be ashamed of, but that you feel awkward announcing to just passers-by.
I cannot believe you've been talking about bathrooms for 10 minutes.
I'm doing that thing again, aren't I?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me just wrap up, and then we'll break, and then we'll have Bob Costantini by saying this. So I'm there, I'm washing my hands, guy comes in, lugging the Quiznos cup attached to the key, and it's like, the bathroom is fairly small. He has to walk by me. So he walks by me, and I'm just thinking, huge guy. Walks by me, goes into the stall, you hear the unbuckling and the rustling and the so forth, and you're just, and I'm like trying to get my hands clean as fast as possible so I can get out. But the water comes out, and it's all soft water, you know, it's all demineralized. So it takes like an hour to get the soap off your hands. And plus, they don't, here's another thing about CBS, they don't give us actual faucets here. I mean, is that way in the women's bathroom, too?
I don't know.
You don't care, do you?
Rick, you've been talking, Tim just got started with the news. You've been talking about faucets and answering the phone in the bathroom.
But this is a tease. See, we're giving people a little bit of Tim, and then we give them the payoff later. The sweet, sweet, full, you know, full Tim amount.
He's reading the advertisements for a grocery store.
What? I'm sorry. Let's break.
Well, this is the day that they come out of the boat on site.
Johnny Tyler, I forgot you were there. I'm sorry. We're going to take a break now for some commercial advertisements. Tim's just sadly walking out of the studio. All right.
By the way, somebody just sent me who goes home.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you say that? And how do they... It's not even noon.
Baby,
I call shenanigans.
Baby.
Really?
Yeah.
I hate you with everything in me. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. No, but I will say this. I'm going to start beginning every program with weird crap that Sarah has said. Yesterday it was, here's what said, this is an actual Sarah Dillon quote. This is what she greeted me with yesterday. Yesterday being Tuesday. I said, hi, Sarah. She said, I woke up this morning covered in blood.
My foot was covered in blood.
Yeah.
It's so hurting today.
Random Sarah Dillon quote, the second. I wrote this down last night. Actually, I put it in my, phone. I wrote this down in my Motorola Q. Damn, that Toby sure is effable, though. There you go.
I'm just saying he looks extremely effable. Like, not that I want to, but that guy exudes
what
like
that.
What
does that mean, though? You're saying not that I want to. What does it mean, like he's physically
like
capable?
Tommy, no, like a Tommy Lee. I don't know, like the way he was, you know, working the crowd of
You do
girls.
Want to.
No, I don't.
Then what
I don't
is
like
it,
guys
then,
with eyebrow rings.
Then what does it mean?
It means you can just tell he exuded that self-confidence where he's like...
When you say that a guy is extremely doable, that means that in your estimation, you do him.
No. I don't really know what I meant by that, but I do not want
well,
to do him.
Well, you've been doing a little drinky poo last night when you said that, so I suspect that you may not know what that means, but I suspect that bad Sarah knows what that means. That Sarah light and dark.
That is a lie.
Okay.
No, I don't think Toby's cute at all.
But he's effable.
It's like Tommy Lee is. Tommy Lee is. I don't want to sleep with Tommy Lee. But there are people who exude that, like.
That what?
I don't know.
I'm not trying to do a thing. I'm honestly curious.
He just looked like walking sex. He did. He was like, the way he was staring into the camera. And I don't know. It was just.
If a guy said that about a woman, though. Never mind. Wait, Bob Costantini doesn't care about any of this. Let's, that's like a third person. Bob Dole doesn't care about any of this. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. CNN radio correspondent and guy who couldn't possibly care less about this, Bob Costantini. Hello, sir.
Hello. I imagine Bob Dole might care some about this.
Bob, well,
I don't know. You know those ads he used to
doing those Viagra ads.
Yeah.
Is Bob Dole still alive?
Of course he is.
Well, I know. You can't let you say of course. Like it can just be taken for granted.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Abe Vigoda, alive or dead?
He's still alive, right?
Very good, sir. No, that is, he's sort of the gold standard. He's the bellwether. You know, when Abe Vigoda, he's the canary in the coal mine. When Abe Vigoda dies, because that guy's been alive forever.
Yes.
Alive. I mean, let me tell you seriously. Go back and watch The Godfather, the first one, which is 72, I think.
Yes.
You go back and watch the first Godfather. He was like 100 years old then.
He was. He seemed pretty old then when he played Tessio.
Tessie, and you know, look at that. Well, of course, Costantini. Of course.
Costantini.
It's like it's
and I'm a guy, too.
Yeah, and it's like, so you got a double cultural imperative to know The Godfather. And I'm
you know about The Godfather.
I'm impressed that you know Tessio. And then he played Fish on Barney Miller, you know, he's aged. So we were having this, who was it the other day we couldn't figure out if he was alive or dead? It was Richard Dawson.
Richard Dawson? No. I believe he's still alive. Yeah.
Somebody claimed he was dead, but then somebody, I swear to God, there's actually a website called RichardDawsonIsStillAlive.com. There is, I haven't gone there, but somebody told me there is. In the future, there will be a website. In the future, there will be every possible sentence that you could construct with words in the English language. We'll have a .com at the end of it for like 10 minutes. So
we haven't seen much of Richard Dawson lately, though.
What would he be doing? I mean, really.
I'm collecting residuals on his old TV shows. So.
Do you collect a residual on a game show?
I believe so, yes.
So hold on. Sarah, can you sweeten my mic a little bit?
I hate it when you say that.
That's become a thing I say. I can't just say, turn. I'm not loud enough. It's just that my...
Well, have you listened to the promos? Tim and I are like, and your voice is just booming.
That's how it should be.
Okay.
That's exactly as it ought to be, Sarah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have this little control here.
Oh.
I'm going to turn it down. Oh.
You're sorry. All right. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Richard. No, he didn't commit suicide, Scotty. That was the other guy. That was the guy who wasn't, because it went Richard Dawson, then other guy, then Louis Anderson.
Yeah, Lord, what is his name?
You had no idea you were going to be talking about this today, did you?
No, not at all.
You probably went to college.
I would have looked it up.
All right, well, we'll come back to it. So Bush has been in New Orleans. He was there for a couple of days, right? He attended some funerals and did the one-year anniversary and the whatever.
Yeah, he spent 2 days along the Gulf Coast in Mississippi and Louisiana and, of course, finished it off yesterday with a speech in New Orleans and visiting the city there. He had breakfast with Mayor Nagin, and he made some interesting comments in that, saying that government at all levels fell short of its responsibilities, and he was in a high school where they had to pump in a huge new air conditioning system to pump in the air because the school is still not ready. But he ended up saying, I take full responsibility for the federal government's response, which is very interesting to some of the people there to see that.
Well, it's interesting in the sense that, and this just is from my perspective as a political outsider, and obviously I'm a partisan hack like everybody else. I mean, I got my own beliefs just like everybody. I'm just a little more upfront about them. But I will say this, from a strictly objective outside view, it does seem like this is sort of the MO. This is the standard modus operandi of George W. Bush or of whoever tells him whoever speaks into the little thing inside his ear, which is that George W. Bush is not unlike the girlfriend or boyfriend who acts badly, ruins your credit, crashes your car, sleeps with your sister, holds up a liquor store, shaves your head while you're asleep. And then later says, no, you know, that was completely inexcusable, and I apologize. I really shouldn't have done that, and I'm deeply sorry. Which is pointless. Which is pointless and fixes nothing, doesn't address the root of the problem. And Bush seems to have done this over and over again recently. He's made a similar comment about Iraq, and now he's saying it about New Orleans, which I'm sure doesn't help any of the 180,000 people that are eating cat food still.
Well,
so,
it's a little unusual. And it really shows that he has been a bit chastened by not only what happened in a post-Katrina settings, but also, the fact that Iraq is not going that well, that he's now apologizing for certain things and now, taking responsibility for some of these things. I mean, Doonesbury has made a huge running joke of the fact that the president in previous years would not take responsibility or say, he made a mistake here or there. He'd been asked at news conferences
numerous
times
right.
And felt he'd made a mistake, and he said he couldn't think of anything and along those lines. Well, this is a different sort of George W. Bush thing.
Well, here's a dumb question. So if he's, as you say, he's allegedly, quote, taking responsibility for these things, what are the tangible effects of that going to be? What are the tangible manifestations of said taking of responsibility?
Well,
if there are none, you can just...
Of course, will take a while no matter what. And with the magnitude of this disaster, it's hard to say that you can just suddenly, you know, wave a magic wand and make things better, no matter, you know, whether you're the President of the United States or Director of FEMA or, you know, the mayor, et cetera. Nobody's going to be able to just simply, you know, make things a lot better by taking responsibility. It, you know, the government has committed $110 billion to the eventual, you know, all the work that's going to have to be done. And, you know, only a small portion of that has even been appropriated and even smaller is being spent. So, you know, there was a suggestion that the president in an interview the other day said it would take about 10 years or so to get New Orleans back. And the White House kind of downplayed that idea, but I think that's probably what it's going to be.
Well, I mean, as Nagin himself said, rather tactlessly, but probably accurately, government hadn't even been able to fill in a hole. And I don't mean any disrespect to the people who died in the World Trade Center, but I mean, it's, you know, it comes a time when you got to fill in the hole and get to work. And, you know, and New Orleans is not 25 square blocks. And New Orleans is a gigantic city that took 300 years to build. So just final question on this, which is,
sure. And
again, we are big followers here on the Rick Emerson Show of politics as, I don't want to say pure entertainment, but as a sort of just another kind of sport. It really is just another kind of arena football to us in many ways. And I say that because I am a political junkie and have been for a long time. And, you know, some guys have fantasy football or fantasy like, well, I'd like to see the 1918 Red Sox, you know, play against the 1949 Yankees or whatever. I have these fantasy sort of political matchups in my head. Like, let me just tell you this right now. If you told me that if I cut off, like, three of my fingers, I would be able to see Bill Clinton run against, you know, George W. Bush or Bill Clinton run against Pat Buchanan. I mean, I would sign up for that right now. I would gladly do. That's how into it I am. So, as we're coming up on, you know, well, 08 especially, where the Bush's name is either going to do a lot of good or a lot of harm to these people, does it seem like it's probably a bad idea for him to be taking a lot of vacation right now? Or is he at a point where is he just so sure that his base is going to be there, he just doesn't even care? He can just sort of be fly fishing all day.
He's not been taking a lot of vacation, actually, in the month of August here. He only spent 10 days at the ranch. Today, he overnighted at the ranch after leaving New Orleans last night. But today, he is on the campaign trail with some Republicans candidates in Arkansas and Tennessee. These are people who are, you know, want to be seen with the president or who welcome his presence in their races, which is relatively rare, actually.
And I was just going to note, for the record, just in case anybody should ask you, Bob Costantini, what Rick Emerson thinks about this, to me, I consider the president being on the campaign trail a vacation day. Anytime he is not sitting behind his desk trying to get, you know, like people, well, for example, in Oregon, where we got a huge unemployment rate, anytime he's not sitting behind the desk trying to give me more tax dollars back, that's a vacation day. So that's just in case anybody should ask you what the Emerson opinion on this is.
They're trying to hold on to Congress.
All right. Bob Costantini.
The answer to your question, by the way, before,
yes,
is Ray Combs. The fellow from Family Feud.
Were you Googling while we spoke?
I haven't come across it yet.
God bless you, sir. A multitasker.
Multitasking, yes.
Who should we praise you to at CNN? I don't feel the people at CNN properly appreciate your stick-to-itiveness, sir, and your ambition.
I think you know the people. I don't want to give out names on the radio.
I really don't. I mean, it's
you
not,
do it.
I know it's not Laura Caviezel. Seems like she's at this point just been relegated to stock in the kitchen with mint tea. I think Laura right now is
number two there.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Are you talking about Tyler Moody?
I sort of assumed that Laura Caviezel was now the equivalent of that woman here whose job it is to go to evenly distribute the microwave popcorn around the building when someone's made a batch. I figured that's what Laura was doing these days.
No, Laura's a big shot.
Uh-huh.
As is Tyler, as you've mentioned Tyler's name.
What is this? All right.
Just So you know the people to talk to.
So hard to get good help, Bob. All right.
Rick, it's a pleasure as always.
Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. All right, there you go. That seems inexplicable that Laura Caviezel could somehow be above Bob Costantini.
She's been there for like 4 or 5 years.
Are you kidding me? Really? I mean, not that she's been there that long, but did you hear Bob actually sounded afraid of her.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't right.
Yeah, she had a talking to. She doesn't even, it's just business with her now. I know nothing about her dog.
She doesn't
her
talk about the pattern they've picked out.
Yep.
That's too bad. I bet you miss those days. Robert, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I assist you in your endeavor to be a happier person?
Shabalama. Shabalama.
Yes, that's a, yes.
Shabalama.
Really? Is this what you waited on hold for?
Yes.
Yeah, that was really dumb and a waste of everyone's time, including your own, by the way.
Thank you.
All right.
One
there you
big
go. Thank
fiesta
you.
For illegal aliens and homosexuals.
There you go.
That guy waited for like a half an hour to do that.
This is why you don't have a girlfriend, sir. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. The best part about guys like that is how they always expect me to be somehow rattled and horrified. I am not Lars Larson. Let's see. Rick. I'm just going to read a couple of these storm emails. Don't give me eye contact. You know what it is? Because if you try to, I'll go back and I'll finish the story about the noises the fat man was making. In fact, I'm going to do that anyway. Let me just... No, so
oh,
it's done.
Do you want to play this battle?
No, because I had this. I was in the midst of this earlier.
Rick, nobody wants to know. I forgot that you were even talking about that.
People do want to know. People want to know the end of the fat man in the bathroom story. I know they do. The best part of it was, though... For some reason, the picture was completed by the huge plastic Quiznos cup to which the bathroom key was attached, and it was attached in the most ghetto fashion. There was literally like a big plastic Quiznos cup, and then scotch tape to it was a rubber band, and then the rubber band run through the key. It was just, it was perfect.
Sounds beautiful.
Here's the thing. I can either continue the story about the fat man from Quiznos who was in the bathroom making noises, or... I can take these calls, which are about you and Nate.
Oh.
Well, let's just do that. Hello, Mike. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you, sir?
Well, I want to continue the wonderful discussion we had yesterday regarding the Dick Nate and what's gone on since we left.
Well, we should note, and this is, we do kind of have to mention this a little bit, at least, because, and this was not, of course, in any way, because we're not a contrivance-based radio program. That was entirely unintended, but... sort of horrifically perfect in a way that if you did not hear yesterday's program, if you didn't hear the Rick Emerson Show, you didn't hear this.
That was a pretty bad day yesterday.
It was a dark day. What are you going to do? Not every day can be the Tim Riley Gun Fest. So Sarah came into work and was just sort of peeved, as my mom used to say. It was just sort of pissed off, like from jump, because there's this whole saga of Sarah and her boyfriend Nate and his like Live Journal page, which I've never even really been on, but it's like a MySpace thing, right?
Yeah, it's like
Live Journal,
like,
is where that guy does the Rick Emerson daily update.
Exactly, it's like all blogs.
It's like a blog. Okay.
Yeah.
And so he'd been talking to some ex-girlfriend that he said he hadn't been, and then he was like slagging on Sarah on the thing, and then she called him out, and then he left you standing outside a convenience store clutching your cigarettes, and
yeah.
It's all very white trash. Anyway, so Nate called up yesterday, and then there's a whole bunch of fighting back and forth. Here's the thing about that, by the way, and I've heard from more people about this, that regardless of kind of where they fall down, and there is kind of that, the bulk of them do sort of seem to be in your side of the issue here, but everybody did make the observation that when Nate called up yesterday, and it was like, and I had to take the call because what can I do? I can't
no,
be...
No, and to be honest, no, because I had written to him, I'm like, hey, if you feel like I'm being one-sided on this, you know, feel free to call in if you want to call in, do it.
Yeah, and I mean, there was no way I could not, because then I'm doing the same thing about... Then I'm doing the same thing he was. I'm trying to exclude him from a conversation about him, which I don't want to do. But so, Nate calls up yesterday, and you guys are talking about, and the worst, most awkward part about it, other than, you know, everything, is the sense that you guys were both, you were both just sort of levies. You're both just like holding back. Like, my sense of it yesterday was that if we had not been in this room, if we had been anywhere else, that it would have been like a full-on screaming match.
Yeah.
Like a full-on bellowing, like throat-shredding screaming fight. And you could sense both of you yesterday just like hold, like at any moment. You know, it's like the two guys you know, in the gunfight. You know, both of them, like, hand over the gun, just waiting for the other person to push it. And it's, and I, so I, you know, that was, anyway, but then at the very end of the program, literally at, like, 3:04, I shouldn't be laughing, but I, it was just so horrible and perfect. And, like, at 3:04, was it an instant message or an email?
No, it was an email.
An email like, "Dear Sarah, I do not wish to see you." If,
well, it said, yeah.
Girls
said,
are stupid, and I do not wish to see you for many years.
Well, he sent me an email saying he doesn't want to talk to me for a very, very long time. And then I said the thing about how, oh, I just got broken up with via email. And he wrote back. He's like, "I don't want to break up. I'm really mad and I don't want to talk to you." So we talked a little bit after the show yesterday. Haven't talked since. He's re-listening to the show from yesterday.
That's a good idea.
Which is awful. Like, I've been telling him not to.
What could go wrong?
It's in the past. You know, I woke up this morning. I was feeling good. I was ready to kind of put it behind us. This thing has really gotten blown out of proportion. I love this guy. You know, we get along really well a lot of the time. And, you know, as you can see from yesterday, sometimes we do not.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. He's listening to the show. He's angry.
Because that's probably what's going to calm him down a lot, is re-listening to the...
Yep.
And then he should just go and kick himself, hit himself in the knee with something really heavy over and over again.
Well, yeah, so I'm just going to give him his space. I'm going to let him figure out what he wants to do, because I've said my piece. That's, you know, there's nothing I can do.
So, Mike, there you go. Does that answer your questions?
It does perfectly. Thank you very much.
All right,
good
thank
luck,
you, sir.
Sarah.
All right,
thanks.
There you go. That's Mike. All right. It's 503-733-290. And what you should do is you should read that LiveJournal page over and over again.
I haven't. I've
100
never
times a day.
Part. See, that's, yeah, that's
to what, for what reason is he listening back? This is the thing that doesn't make any sense to me.
Because he wants to, he's listening point by point. I don't know.
But what, is it a debate tournament? Is he going to bring in a file cabinet full of stuff to talk to you about
it
after
seems
this?
Seems like it is. You know, I told him, you know, it's yesterday is already the past. I woke up this morning ready to kind of talk about this and move forward. Obviously, he's not.
Well, that's,
he's not ready to do that.
Well, and that's the thing. And I don't mean to sound all fruity and retarded about it. But, I mean, that's, and I know I start to sound like Dr. Phil when I say all this crap. But, I mean, it seems like a stupid idea. For, I mean, like, he does know you. Like, he has your phone number. He has your address. He could come over and talk to you. And so it seems like just listening to yesterday's show, which is A, the past, as you noted, and B, is a one-sided conversation.
Yeah, I don't need to rehash yesterday. Yesterday's yesterday. Like,
but I'm not even talking about you. I'm saying this. It seems pointless for him to do it, because him going back and listening to yesterday's show, which he cannot, which A, again, he's in the past, is yesterday, which he cannot respond to, which is a one. It is exactly like you going and rereading something he wrote on a message board yesterday that you are not allowed to respond to, or that you can't have any input on.
Mm-hmm.
It is pointless and just inflammatory for no reason. So
yeah, he was listening to it, getting so mad. He actually said that he was just full of rage. So I'm like, you know, I'm.
Why would you keep listening to it?
I don't know. He's like torturing himself. It's like stop listening. You know, yesterday happened. You know why I'm upset. So he still won't talk to me, but.
So it's good that he won't actually speak.
So he won't talk to me today.
But we'll listen to your recorded voice. Talking about this.
Yeah. All I want to do is sit down and talk like adults, and
yeah,
it's not happening.
Well, okay.
So that's my life.
I got all these Storm emails to get to.
Ooh, let's get to them.
Let's see. We're going to do the Rockstar recap. We got the George Bush Onion Weekly radio address. We'll do Jim Roop later on. Top five. Jen Lane is going to be here. Let's take a break here. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, from the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley will join us for the AM 970 Noon News Hour. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.